The Proper Seduction, Part 2, by Dacro. Rated PG-13. A birthday thick for salad bats. Draco emerged from the stairwell into the entrance hall and pulled on his new leather gloves, inhaling the strong scent. Tugging one of the main doors open, he nearly collided with someone who appeared to be coming in at the same time as he was leaving. He barely spared the man a second glance, but froze with a start when his brain registered that the figure was neither staff nor student. He spun toward the man, his coaching cloak swirling around his knees. "May I help you?" Draco's voice was icy and sharp, but the man just smiled politely. "I'm fond of Quidditch, and I hear there was a practice this afternoon. I've heard good things about the Slytherin team," the man answered. Draco looked him over. He was just standing there smiling in unremarkable dusty blue robes and sounding Welsh. Draco's suspicion kicked up a notch. "There are no reporters or scouts allowed on the grounds without a formal invitation," he recited, watching the man's hands in case he went for his wand. "The safety of our students." Draco forgot what he was saying as the man suddenly reached for his arm. He jumped backward and lost his footing. Within a second, the stranger had a firm grip on both his forearms and was pulling him safely back onto the top step of the stairs. They were both breathing hard as the man gave his arms a squeeze. Draco's eyes grew wide, and he readied himself for explosion. "Draco, it's me, Harry." Eyes wider still, Draco took a ragged breath and sputtered out a reply. "It's a horrible disguise," he said unconvincingly as Harry dropped his arms. "Why doesn't it sound like you?" "If someone knew my voice, they could pick me out. So I've been learning different dialects," Harry whispered in his own voice. "Are you coaching today?"
What?
Coaching, yes. Draco stammered, trying to gather himself up for the rest of the conversation. "Rolanda gets the other two teams, and I get Ravenclaw and Slytherin." Harry smoothed his hand over his sandy blonde hair of his glamour, still smiling. Draco wished he could drop the spell, but knew it would have to remain while they were in plain view of everyone, really. "How is she?" Harry asked.
"Hooch."
"No, Muriel," Harry laughed. "Although we can talk about Hooch if you'd rather."
"Amusing."
Draco nodded toward the pitch. "Walk with me?" "Muriel has been driving me to insanity with her excitement since you sent that letter.
Why did you feel the need to tell her so soon?"
"I'm sorry. I couldn't wait."
"Just as bad as she is."
He smirked into the setting sun. "No patience." Harry tucked his hands into his pockets. "Put that on my gravestone?" Draco chuckled.
"Done."
They walked quietly, taking their time. "She's well," Draco said softly. "Top of a class in charms, history of magic, and potions."
"I was always pants at the last two," Harry said, shaking his head as if the memory would come free.
"Divination was worse, though."
"I remember."
Draco glanced over, expecting to see Harry, and still not used to the glamour.
"Where'd you find that face, anyway? It doesn't suit you."
Harry shrugged.
"That's the point, isn't it? We still on for dinner?"
Draco tried to nod and swallow at the same time. The skin around his collar was suddenly very warm and uncomfortable. Harry smiled.
"Good. Tomorrow, then?"
"I'd like some time with Muriel tonight."
"Of course."
Draco stopped walking for a moment, but Harry kept on, moving a few steps ahead of him. Draco couldn't help but notice the telltale stride. He smiled at the reminder of the real Harry until his mind prodded his body to walk again.
Draco's fork clattered off the rim of his china plate, sending bits of broccoli and cheese onto the tablecloth.
I'm sorry, what?
Draco choked on whatever he had been about to swallow, quickly covering his mouth with a napkin from his lap.
Would you consider becoming Muriel's legal guardian?
Harry half stood as Draco continued to cough.
On paper only, he added. Unless anything happened to me.
Draco froze and stared back at Harry, the corners of his eyes wet from choking.
What?
He repeated. It was all he could manage, still trying to catch his breath.
You're right?
Harry asked, paling slightly with concern on his face. Draco nodded, took a sip of water, and watched Harry sit back down.
She likes you, and I believe you care about her too, about her future.
Yes, but her grandparents
are getting older, and they can't protect her the way they used to. When something happens to me, at least I know you'll make sure she grows up safe, whatever the outcome of the war.
Draco's stomach threatened to return his recent meal as Harry's words rattled around in his head.
When something happens to me.
When?
Draco swallowed and looked down at the mess on the tablecloth.
You're not here on holiday, are you?
He asked, pointlessly poking the spilt food with a spoon. Harry got up from the table and walked slowly to the fireplace. Draco could hear him pulling his hands through his hair. Draco sighed.
I know a goodbye when I hear one, Potter.
His voice hardened as he sat up and stared at Harry's back.
What's happened?
He asked, pushing out from the table.
I know how to kill Voldemort,
Harry whispered, almost too low, but Draco heard every word.
You have a new weapon?
Not exactly.
Then what?
Draco stopped himself and decided just to listen.
I've known what has to be done for a while now, but I've been putting it off as long as possible.
He placed his hands on the mantle and lowered his head. Draco watched the pale fabric of Harry's shirt move over the muscles in his back as he exhaled slowly.
We have to die together. I have to kill us both.
Draco stopped breathing.
The longer I live, the longer he does too. I've felt it for years.
His voice shook slightly.
If it wasn't for Muriel, I would have ended this long ago. I kept thinking I could find a different solution, but nothing's worked.
He turned around slowly. At the sight of Harry's wet eyes, Draco released the breath he had been holding.
Please.
Harry struggled with the word, fruitlessly wiping a knuckle along the damp skin just under his right eye.
Tell me you'll provide for her. Promise me she'll survive.
Draco's chest constricted, his breathing, and his jaw was becoming so tight it bordered on painful. He could only stare at Harry, who was looking less like a hero and more like a broken-hearted father. A father giving up his only child.
All right.
Yes.
I'll sign whatever you want. I'll protect her. Just sit down, please.
Thank you, Harry whispered, sinking into one of the soft chairs by the fire. Draco didn't know how the man could look at peace, and yet almost terrified at the same time. He moved to the empty chair opposite Harry. They sat in silence as Harry dried his eyes and stared into the flames.
I guess it's my turn for a confession,
Draco announced, pulling at a loose thread on the arm of the chair. Harry half chuckled.
You have something to confess?
Actually, I do. He smiled, thankful that Harry seemed to be relaxing again.
Go on, then. What's your news?
Well, as it turns out, he paused to pull his chair a little closer to Harry's. I've fallen in love. The laughter vanished from Harry's eyes, but Draco pretended not to see it.
Really?
He asked, glancing back toward the hearth.
Congratulations.
Indeed, but I doubt if anything will come of it.
Oh?
Do I know? No, it's none of my business.
As a matter of fact, you do.
He's a beautiful, troubled father of one of my students, who has just informed me that he plans to give me his child because he doesn't think he'll be alive much longer. Draco said quickly. Harry's mouth fell open, but quickly he snapped shut. Draco watched the surprise register on his face. Oh, and I think he's straight. He finished with a dramatic sigh. What? Harry asked, with something like wonder coloring his tone. Yes, I've always had rotten luck with men. Harry swallowed and pulled his chair forward until their knees were almost touching. It was Draco's turn to be surprised. Maybe just bad timing, Harry whispered, as Draco felt his body growing warm all over. I think I might know him, but some of your information is wrong. Harry's hands slid slowly off his knee and onto Draco's, covering the long fingers waiting there. Wrong. Draco forced his words out through his shock. Which parts? Beautiful and straight. I haven't had a lot of time to explore the second one, but I think I've always known. He smiled shyly and squeezed the hand under his own. I'd be willing to help you explore. Draco could barely manage anything louder than a whisper, as his heart started pounding in his ears, and his lungs didn't seem to want to do their job anymore. But I'm still going to fight you on the first one. Harry's reply was lost or caught somewhere between their lips as they found each other. Draco didn't quite believe that he wasn't dreaming, so he moved his free hand onto Harry's knee and squeezed, just to make sure there was a real person under the fabric. When Harry made the most delicious, low moan, Draco's body decided that was a confirmation enough for him. The food lay forgotten on the table as Harry suddenly grabbed two fistfuls of Draco's expensive shirt and gave a sturdy tug. The next moment, Draco felt himself being pulled out of his chair and then lowered onto his back in front of the fireplace, with Harry kneeling above him. Harry dove in for a stunning kiss, and Draco arched against him without shame. Draco parted his legs slightly, allowing Harry to settle even closer against him, and wound his arm up until it was buried in a mess of dark hair, pulling Harry's still wet lips back down to his own and whispering over warm skin. I usually demand extravagant gifts and a written note of intent, but this will do, Draco teased. Harry pulled back and froze. Draco's chest grew painfully tight again as he helplessly watched a look of disgust appear on Harry's face. What? Whatever it was, I take it back. I'm sorry. Harry. With the sound of his name, Harry quickly untangled himself and stood, leaving Draco shivering on the floor. I'm an idiot! What am I doing? Harry muttered to himself, crossing to the other side of the room. He paced there as Draco picked himself up, brushed off his robes, and slid his Malfoy mask back into place, wiping away any outward emotion. He had forgotten how much rejection stung, but it wasn't as if it were the first time. He faced the hearth and tried to calm his nerves. His focus was broken when Harry suddenly appeared behind him, wrapping warm fingers around his shoulders. Draco couldn't stop the shiver that ran through him, but he kept his eyes on the spot of floor their bodies had just occupied. The moment was already beginning to fade from his memory, but his body wasn't so eager to forget. He could feel the heat from Harry's chest as he pressed closer, creeping little by little through the back of Draco's shirt. I'm sorry. That didn't go how I planned. Draco grunted something unintelligible and held his stance. Harry rested his chin on Draco's shoulder. Why do you think I've been riding you all this time?
To secure a substitute father for your child, obviously, Draco snapped.
Partly, Harry answered softly. It's more than that, though. Since we left school, I've been watching you, trying to learn more about you. More than what I'd seen in the past. I wanted to know who, what you are.
And what am I?
Misunderstood, he whispered. Draco spun, words ready to protest, but they somehow melted away on Harry's tongue as his mouth was captured again.
Just like me, he breathed against Draco's lips. You're so much more than people give you credit for.
Draco did nothing to stop the hands that came up to cradle his face, but silently demanded that his own arms stay down. In direct disobedience, they twitched once, and then quickly slid up Harry's sides.
So, you do want me, then?
Gods, yes, Draco. I've been wondering what it would be like to kiss you ever since 7th year. It was just never the right time to tell you, and I couldn't risk that Mariel wouldn't be discovered. But I've always wanted you, always.
Draco narrowed his eyes and tried to ignore the tug at his heart. Then why did I find myself alone on the floor just now?
Harry looked uncomfortable, but continued to smooth his thumbs over Draco's cheekbones.
Because, he whispered, closing his eyes, as if searching for information.
If we did more than just... For someone who had just thrown him on the floor a few minutes ago, Draco couldn't help but feel slightly annoyed at how suddenly nervous Harry now seemed to be.
You'd have regrets in the morning. I understand,
Draco said, sounding more bitter than he had intended. Harry's eyes flew open at Draco's words.
No, I...
He sighed, sliding his hands down until they were resting on Draco's shoulders. Since our last visit, I haven't been able to think of much else, Harry confessed, looking directly at Draco. He pulled one hand nervously through his hair and started again.
You remember what I asked you tonight? About Mariel?
Draco went cold.
Yes.
If you and I... Spit it out, Harry. I need you to be strong for her.
And I will.
What's this really about?
It would be wrong to start a relationship with you, knowing I'm not coming back.
Draco sighed and let his forehead fall forward until it rested against Harry's.
Then come back. Come back for both of us.
Somehow, Mariel knew something wasn't right with the way her father had said goodbye.
He cried.
I know, Draco answered. She kneeled up on the sofa and shuffled closer.
He told me you would take care of me.
I will, he said with conviction.
He said he loves us both.
Draco shifted his eyes to the floor, trying not to look at her. He could only nod in reply. Small fingers wrapped around his wrist.
He's not coming back, is he?
Draco's pained silence was answer enough. It was 2 full days before he could talk her out of her dormitory, and 3 before he could force her to eat. The spring came and went. Mariel tried her best to stay focused on her schoolwork, but spent most evenings curled against Draco's side on the sofa in his sitting room. Draco had long since stopped enforcing the professor-student boundaries with her in private, allowing her to think of him as family and trying to give her what little of a childhood she had left. Some of the staff raised a few eyebrows until Severus and Minerva called a discreet meeting to clarify information and put an end to inappropriate rumors. Harry's identity and wishes regarding Mariel had been carefully revealed, but very few questions were allowed about why Draco was now the girl's guardian. For his own part, Draco kept most of his fears and doubts to himself. Severus and Minerva would often send him small notes of encouragement or share concerned glances over meals. He wished that he could be where Harry was, or at least know more of the team's progress than he did. Harry's letters had stopped after he came to the castle, and word from the Order was never very telling. Draco knew he was becoming withdrawn, choosing to spend most of his free time in his rooms reading to Mariel, or locked in his bedroom with his memories. He didn't care what others thought. That night with Harry, When they had talked, shared a meal, confessed, kissed, fought, played through his mind at least once a day. He could picture everything perfectly, from the color and the smell of the fire to the feel and taste of Harry's mouth against his own. He couldn't decide if he cherished or regretted the fact that they hadn't made love. Holding and talking seemed more important at the time. Now, though, Draco imagined he would surrender almost anything just to have had Harry's hands entwined in his for one more moment as their bodies moved together, or hear his name slip once more from Harry's lips. On the last day of the term, he received two letters, the first from Arthur and Molly Weasley, requesting that Severus and Draco allow Muriel to stay within the safety of the castle during the summer holiday, and formally declared that Draco was now her legal guardian. The second was from Gringotts, explaining that papers would need to be signed in order to properly accommodate Mr. Potter's wishes to put Draco in charge of both his and Muriel's finances. Draco asked Minerva to care for Muriel for the weekend, and locked himself and his grief away in his rooms. Even Severus couldn't find a way around the wards. Draco and Muriel looked up suddenly as the flue activated, erupting into green flames.
"He's alive! Bobby has him in a private room near the infirmary," Minerva announced, sounding out of breath. "You can come through my office."
They were both running for the fireplace before Minerva had finished her sentence. The summer was nearly over, and yet, any season would have gone unnoticed to the few people who never left the hospital wing. To these few, there only seemed to be two things that mattered. Harry was still in a coma, and Voldemort was dead. Deemed by Severus to be more secure than St. Mungo's if any remaining Death Eaters wished retaliation, Harry had been moved along with a team of healers to the safety of the castle. According to the Veritas Serum confessions of several captured Death Eaters, there had been a gathering to plan the kidnapping of a few Hogwarts students in hopes of luring Harry into a battle. The Dark Lord had been listening to the list of targeted families when he suddenly grabbed at his chest and began to wail in pain. Some said they heard Harry's voice. Some saw a flash of green light coming out from under Voldemort's clenched fist. And yet still others confessed to seeing a familiar lightning bolt-shaped scar appear for a moment on the Dark Lord's forehead before he slid lifeless to the floor. From the reports that had been streaming in, all of them with slightly different information, the Order and medical staff had determined that Harry must have turned his wand on himself while uttering the killing curse. The strangest testimony from Harry's own team members was that he had used the Unforgivable while alone in his own room and nowhere near the place where Voldemort had been hiding. They heard Harry's screams and had found him a few minutes later unconscious, near death, but still breathing, somehow. The Prophet hailed him as a selfless hero, while whispers around the Order and Ministry carried words like suicidal and unhinged. The days came and went, as did the few close friends who were permitted to visit Harry's private room. Molly brought warm hugs and sweets for everyone, and Arthur came every morning to read selected sections of The Prophet to Harry and to hold his granddaughter. Draco had conjured himself a bed beside Harry's and slept there from the first day he had been brought in. Muriel alternated between curling up in Harry's bed and sleeping in her own small cot beside Draco's. The press was never allowed into the room, and as the days wore on, the protests from the few persistent reporters faded once news of the next Quidditch World Cup was announced. Draco opened his eyes slowly and lifted his head. His neck ached from falling asleep, while sitting on a hard chair by Harry's bedside. The fingers still clutched in his hand twitched and then stilled. Draco stared at them, and then threw his gaze over to Harry's forever closed eyelids. They were moving. Breath escaped Draco's lungs as Harry squinted at the light surrounding the bed. "Knox," Draco commanded. The artificial lights flickered and faded, leaving only the natural gray haze of very early morning from the windows at the head of the bed.
"Harry."
Draco could hardly find the air to form words as he moved in closer and reverently brushed the dark fringe out of Harry's eyes with unsteady fingers.
"Gods, I thought you never—"
Harry made an effort to speak, but nothing came out except a weak moan, although Draco could see his lips trying to shape it into something coherent. He could also see the pain and frustration reflected back in the green eyes he saw every night when he closed his own. And this wasn't a dream. He moved without a thought to the dresser that held the water tray to get Harry something to drink. After knocking two glasses to the floor and overflowing the third, he used both hands to bring the liquid to Harry's lips. It poured out too quickly, and some trickled down the side of his face and over his chin. Draco removed the glass and firmly rubbed his hand over the muscles of Harry's stiff throat.
"That's it. Swallow. You're all right,"
he encouraged, setting the glass down and spotting Harry's bed linen with a few tears. He wiped them away, not wanting Harry to notice his emotion and start to worry. Harry choked and spit up most of the first mouthful, but did manage to swallow a little. The second attempt went much better, and Harry forced himself to swallow again as Draco wiped the water from his chin.
Draco.
The word was lost in a coughing fit, but Harry soon regained control and tried to smile. Draco dropped the napkin and sat down hard in the chair. After months of waiting, Harry's voice caused him to feel too many emotions all at once. He wanted to yell and kiss and scold and protect, but all his body would allow him to do was fall forward and weep freely into Harry's upturned palm. At that moment, he didn't care if anyone was watching. Harry was awake. Draco didn't have time for pride or appearances. He took in a sharp breath when Harry's free hand wound shaky fingers around his neglected hair.
"How long?"
Harry asked, coughing less than the first attempt.
"Almost 2 months,"
Draco answered, kissing the damp skin under his lips. He turned his face to the side and lifted his eyes until they met with Harry's.
"You could have at least given me a warning. I'm not washed or shaven."
He made a feeble attempt at humor, although his chest felt like it would burst at any moment.
"You look good to me."
Harry's smile softened, and his fingers continued to wrap around the pale hair that had grown quite a bit since he last saw it. Draco sat up slowly and helped Harry to more water. As he was about to remove the glass again, Harry touched his wrist.
"Was it worth it? Did it work?"
he asked, looking as if he were bracing himself for the answer. Draco removed the water and took the hand back in his, ignoring the look of confusion on Harry's face. He pressed Harry's fingers over the place where his famous scar had once been. Harry gasped, all the color drained from his face.
"He's dead, Harry. You were right."
Draco watched as relief washed over Harry.
"Muriel."
Draco kissed Harry's knuckles lightly.
"She's fine, safe. Worried about her father."
Draco felt his eyes threaten to spill again as wet trails wandered down the side of Harry's face.
"This whole time, you stayed with me."
Draco nodded.
"Muriel, too. Poppy let us sleep here, after some convincing."
"Draco, believe me, I didn't want to leave either of you."
Harry confessed as he began to shake.
Shh, we know. We would have understood, even if... We don't blame you, Harry. Why am I not dead?
Draco sat back slightly and smiled, giving Harry's hand a squeeze.
There are two theories. The Cursebreakers came up with something they call the intent theory. They believe because you really meant the words of the curse and directed them at Voldemort through your own body, you were successful in killing him. Their explanation for your survival is that you really didn't mean the words for yourself, so you received a lesser blast.
Oh, and people are believing this?
It's what the ministries fed the papers, so yes. Do you want to hear my view on the matter?
Harry nodded and wiped at his eyes.
But can I have a kiss before we get into any more business?
Draco didn't know why the question struck him as odd, but Harry must have seen something that looked like doubt.
I'm sorry, we don't have to...
Harry countered quickly. Draco stopped the verbal retreat with a kiss that seemed like it should have been shared by lifelong lovers, but it felt right, and he hoped it was what Harry had had in mind. He pulled away gently.
I messed up everything the last time we were together. Can I have another chance?
Draco slid his mouth lightly across the shell of Harry's ear and smirked against the skin.
I'll need a proper seduction this time. No more of this tossing me on the floor and ruining perfectly good shirts I purchased with the intent to impress. He purred.
Harry shivered and followed it with a genuine laugh as Draco pulled back and captured the tail end of it in a playful kiss.
Done, Harry promised, still smiling. Now tell me about your theory.
Well, it was really Severus, Minerva, and I. Based on the blood spell that protected you the first time, because of your mother's sacrifice.
Harry nodded.
This time, it was you who was willing to die for someone else. For all of us. We believe that you reversed what had been done and broke the bond between you and Voldemort.
That might explain why my scar disappeared.
He reached up and ran his fingers over the flawless skin.
Wait! I can test your theory.
Before he could say anything, Harry reached up and touched the serpent earring in Draco's left ear.
I love you, Draco.
Draco sat up straight and stared back at Harry with surprise and awe.
English, then.
Draco nodded.
That proves your theory, I believe. No more parcel tongue.
Yes. You love me?
It was well into Mariel's second year at Hogwarts, nearly Halloween, before Poppy allowed Harry to leave the hospital wing. When the day finally came, Draco and Mariel walked hand in hand down the corridor after an endless day of lessons to collect him. Draco didn't know why, but he was holding his breath as they pushed open the door to Harry's room. He released it quickly when Harry smiled at them both, however, and stepped forward with his cane. Mariel wrapped her arms around her father. Harry planted a quick kiss into the auburn hair by her temple and asked her to bring his bag that was sitting on the bed. When she ran to retrieve it, Harry brushed his lips softly against Draco's in a hurried greeting.
You still all right with the dungeons?
Draco whispered to Harry.
Last chance to change your mind.
It's two Slytherins against a Gryffindor. You can't win, Dad.
Mariel added as she returned with Harry's things.
I guess they don't have a choice. So you better run ahead and lead the way.
Harry winked as she ran out the door. To Draco, he still looked weak, but the improvement in his health had been nothing short of a miracle. His magic and balance were almost restored, and his strength would return now that he wasn't confined to a hospital bed and could move around the castle. They were going to make it through, and this time, they had each other. Just before they got to the door, Draco felt something being pressed into his hand, and his fingers instinctively closed around it. He shot a puzzled look over to Harry, who had suddenly found something very interesting on his hand-carved cane to study. Draco turned his hand over and began unfolding the small bit of parchment. "I promised to seduce you properly." While Draco was reading, Harry stepped up behind him and rested his chin on Draco's shoulder. "I don't want you to think I've forgotten." There were more pressing matters. People who needed to see them both, reports to be written, a daughter to feed. But right at that moment, Draco couldn't think of anything except the man wrapping his arms around him, the note closed tight in his palm, and the absence of fear for the future.